I think for at least 17 plus years, this church has had somebody stand here on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, which is technically last Sunday, and just share God's heart for life. And it may have been many years even prior to that. I don't know. That's just when I remember the first one. I'm sure it was many years prior to that, because at that time was when I met Lisa Hostler for the first time, who is the president, still the president, she was at that time, of Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Center, which is now Align Life Ministries. And she and I connected through Kim Abel, who was just very instrumental in pushing me sort of towards their ministry, and that was over in Lancaster at the time. And that's when it all sort of began for me as far as being involved in pregnancy center ministries. And as you may recall, because I know I've shared it from here before, it was 1985 that President Reagan initiated a mandate or whatever, that this would be the day, this would be the month that we would choose to celebrate the sanctity of all human life. And his intent was just to say, we need to take time, because so much is happening in our culture, so much is happening in our world, where we can just step back and go, life is precious. All life is precious. And we need to be a voice. We need to be a voice for all of those who don't have voices, regardless of their age, regardless of where they are coming from. So whether they're unborn, whether they are children, whether they are youth, whether they are young adults, whether they are disabled, whether they are elderly, we just need to be willing to take that stand. And I apologize till I get this adjusted. It feels like it's pulling. I think on my necklace it's catching. But anyway, we will readjust that. But I decided to start this morning with a little bit of a mini State of the Union. There's so much going on. When Paul shared, or actually I think it was Metro shared, about the family this week that committed suicide. That was devastating. I don't know if you saw that in the news, but it just breaks my heart. And I work with at-risk youth all the time, and I see the decisions they make because of the trauma that they have faced in their lives, and it breaks my heart. And I see and hear the things that are being poured into them at such young ages, and just, it is not at all surprising that we have such high mental health diagnoses and issues within our country, and that is just rampant at this point, because there's a lot of trauma out there. There's a lot of things that individuals are going through, and it's just whether it's the school shootings, whether it's, suicide is at an all-time high, whether it's, like, you name it, it's happening. COVID did a huge number on many individuals mentally, and just really, we live in this place of feeling unsafe and not knowing what's going to happen around the next corner. And I think it's just really tough. And on this day, we also spend a lot of time looking at some of the statistics and what's happening in our country in regards to abortion. So I am going to kind of give you a State of the Union address on that a little bit too. But I want to say, as I go into this, because I've worked in pregnancy center ministries, I understand the pain and the anguish that goes into making that choice. And no one here, and I hope by now, after hearing 17 plus years of our sharing, no one here is standing in judgment of anybody who's ever chosen that, because we don't walk in your shoes. And there's a lot of really tough decisions that go into that. But God is good, and God brings healing, and God is able to make all things new. And so I cling to that and I hold to that. So as I share these, I don't want to make someone feel like, oh my, this is where I was. The reality of it is there's so many people who have made that decision and who have been there. So it's a world that understands, and it's a world coming from pain. So as I walk through, and hopefully I do this correctly as well, Scott was very good to make sure that Bradley made sure everything ran, but he didn't actually have me test to make sure I know how I ran to turn the slides. So hopefully that will go okay. As we look at kind of our state of a union, some of the different things I want to bring up, abortion rates have risen 8% over the last reported numbers, which were in 2017. So now we're looking at 930,160 abortions a year, the last statistics that we have. That number is great. I believe in Pennsylvania, it's 33,000 plus some odd. And when you start to do the math, it comes down to 93 a day. So that's a large number. That's a large number of unplanned pregnancies. That's a large number of women who are going to have to deal with that decision moving forward. And that's a large number of trauma for families and men and women that they are experiencing and going through. In that same time frame, we have seen many states increase Medicaid coverage for abortion care. In Pennsylvania, the funds are still limited to women who are experiencing like life endangerment situations or major organs being endangered, that kind of thing. So that's kind of where Pennsylvania stands. But as a whole, more and more states are allowing taxpayer dollars to pay for those abortions. With the advent of COVID, it really brought up a question to the forefront, and that is abortion considered essential care? And that's kind of been a question for many years. But the reason it became such a big deal with COVID is if it was essential care, they could administer, they could open their doors, they could see their patients for those needs. Remember how many medical clinics closed down during COVID or would only see you through Zoom meetings and those kinds of things? And so Planned Parenthood and some of the other abortion clinics were dealing with the same questions. What is considered to be essential care? What is not? And so it led to many other decisions that have been made. So we have seen right now in the United States, self-managed abortions account for 53% of all abortions. And here's why that is a problem. That's over half, okay? And this is a problem that is including the RU486, which is the abortion pill, which is a two-pill process. And what happened during COVID is they start to say, this is essential, so we are going to be able to administer this online so the person does not ever see a doctor. We are going to be able to send this out by mail order. We're going to be able to have them order it online. Sometimes it's a phone call, and it is all contingent upon the person who's calling in being a good historian of their facts and being honest. Okay? And it gets a little bit worse. So many times, women aren't good historians of their own bodies. They don't really know when their last periods were, that kind of thing. So the closer you are to the end of your first trimester, the less effective that medication abortion is going to be. And so then what happens is if it's not effective, you're still going in for a surgical abortion, but it probably means you're going to end up in the ER before that happens. One of the board members for Human Life Services is an ER doctor here in New York. And she said increasingly they are seeing women coming in because they initiated a self-managed abortion at home and they're experiencing severe bleeding or they're experiencing severe pain and they're traumatized by what they see pass. And that has been things that they just, the mental health and well-being, the emotional health and well-being of these women is just as important as the physical. And that's just an area that they're totally neglecting. So there's a lot of issues with taking something that is really messing with your whole hormonal system and not having it being requiring doctor visits and for individuals to go into the clinic to be able to have stuff like this administered. In June of 2022, this past year, another significant event was that the Supreme Court overruled Roe v. Wade. What that does is simply throw the decision for the legality of an abortion back to the states. Now, I know 2 years ago when I was speaking at various locations, I was telling people the states were scrambling already back then because they knew this decision was going to come. They've been preparing for years. So if it's a conservative state who wants to ban abortion, they've been trying to get those laws on their books so they would be solid, so that when that Supreme Court decision was overturned, the states would have their laws in place that they wanted. So what we have is a certain number of states, and I wish I had the numbers. I had a map there for a while that I was using, have said we're banning it. We're not going to allow it in our state. Obviously, the states like Texas, there are some other conservative states that you're hearing about all the time. They have banned it in their states. So, you know, from that perspective, that's a good thing. But states, other states, have made abortion up till the birthday of the child legal. So what that means is a lady could be on her way to the hospital, in labor, ready to deliver, and if she changes her mind in the car ride, they can hold off that delivery long enough to make sure that they can abort the baby internally before they deliver. I have lost a child in my second trimester, so it was a tiny little child. It still looked like a child, but that was a horrific thing to go through. You still went through labor and delivery. You still had, you know, all that stuff that you were passing. Like, it was just not a fun experience to have that sorrow and that anguish with it. So when you add to that the trauma that you're experiencing for whatever reason is making you make that decision, and then going through labor and delivery and delivering a full-sized child, the mental anguish that you are going to suffer from probably for the rest of your life, the nightmares and so forth, are going to be horrific. That is one of the difficult things that have come out of some of these decisions. In Pennsylvania, abortion is legal up to 24 weeks. And they've been able to sustain the life of a child at 18 and 21 weeks when individuals have delivered early. So, it, you know, potentially, those children could be saved. None of this at all is a surprise when you look at the state of our union in other areas. I think of the elderly. We are not a country that honors our elderly. We are not a country that understands the great wisdom and the great knowledge, the great experience that our elderly individuals have and possess, and tap into it and honor them. We just aren't. And we mock it. We just don't respect it. I hear young people all the time talking in derogatory ways about elderly people, and it drives me absolutely crazy. But we are not a nation that's teaching our young people to respect the elders. We're not a nation that respects our children. The things that we're pouring and dumping into our children is just astounding, from social media, from movies, from videos, the information inside some of our schools that is getting into. Parents, if you have small children, be involved in your schools. Be involved in your schools and know what's being poured into your child. We have psychologists telling us, developmental psychologists telling us, that children do not really have the capability to think and understand long-term consequences of their decisions until they hit their early 20s. 25 is usually the average. I have trouble believing that because I've worked with college students too, and I'm going, and I see them owning that earlier, but I guess it's relative depending who you are. But roughly in your early 20s is when you can begin to understand long-term consequences of the decisions you're making. And they will tell you, I mean, usually with teenagers, they will say they do not have any comprehension of long-term decisions that they're making, because they just can't, developmentally, they're not there. It's not that they're choosing to rebel. It's not that they're choosing to ignore it. They don't get it because they're not developed in that way yet. They also can't own their own moral beliefs. They also can't own their own decisions that they're making until they roughly hit that age range. Yet over and over again, other medical professionals and our society is saying a child can choose to change their sexuality at a young age in elementary school. Not only can they choose to change it, but we will go after the parents that don't allow that for child abuse because they're not going along with what their child wants and they're depriving their child. Well, how can you, one expert say this is, and that's been the line forever. What are we doing to our children? That's not fair to the child. to then allow that to happen at such a young age. As I was going through and looking at all this, and I could go on and on with the STD rates, I could go on and on with sexual promiscuity and pornography and everything else that is out there that just so degrades the human life. And I just really had to get on my knees and pray and say, Lord, you know, what word do you have for us today? And to be honest, some of the verses that he took me to, I just kind of went, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And I just kind of went, I just finally went, okay, I'm going to give in. And we're just going to look at the verses that you're laying on my heart. And so this morning I bring to you some of these verses, and they've just moved me this week in the last couple of weeks as I've meditated on them. If you could, if you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 43, and we're going to look at verse 18 to 19. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19 say this: Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And as I meditated on that verse, I thought, if we've ever lived in a wilderness, it's now. And I'm sure every generation has thought this. To be honest, I'm sure every generation has thought this. But if we've ever lived in a wilderness, it's now. If there's ever a time where we need rivers to flow through and to quench the desert, it's now. And God says, I'm doing something new. I'm doing something new. Just hold on. I'm doing something new. And I started to think about that. Where do I see God doing something new? And he showed me some of the verses. There we go. He showed me some of the verses, and the first one that he brought me to is Genesis 1:1. Now, I have talked about Genesis 1:1 up here before. This Genesis 1:1 gets me so excited. The best sermon I ever heard was just on the first three words of Genesis 1:1, and it was actually four. In the beginning, God. Yeah, those are the verses about creation. In the beginning, God. And I would assert what you believe about that phrase is going to change everything else in your life. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was new. It had not existed before. It was new. Heaven and earth were new. All right. He separated the land from the water. He separated the sky from the earth. He made stars and to rule the night and the moon and then stars to rule the day, the sun. He named every one of them. Do you know he knew your name before the foundation of the earth? That's what his word tells us. He knew the number of your days before anyone existed. Like, this is an amazing God. But here he is creating this world as we know it. Brand new for the first time. And he made all the plants. He made the fish in the sea. He made the animals that run around and run the earth. He made the birds in the air. All of that was brand new. It didn't exist before. Brand new. He is a creator of new things. And as I started to think about this, he then gave them this command. Well, then he created the most precious thing. He created the most precious thing, and that was man. And he said, I'm going to make one more thing. I'm going to make man. I really want something that I can fellowship with, that I can be in relationship with, that I can talk to, that I can just spend time with. So I'm going to create man, and I'm going to create him in my image. In the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then he said, and it's not good for him to be alone running around here, down here on earth. I'm going to also make woman. And he created woman in his image. In the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No other creature was created this way. But we were. We were. And then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was the command to everything. And I started to think about that, and I thought, oh, my word. So babies were new. Prior to that, babies didn't exist. Reproduction did not exist. All right? And then I started to think about that. That means labor and delivery did not exist before. And I started to go, oh, please, Lord, tell me that one of the animals actually delivered a baby animal before poor Eve had to deliver a baby boy. Because otherwise, like, she just needed to know what to expect. Because that would be horrific. But that was brand new. All of that was new. And that was how life was going to come into the world. And that could be a whole sermon in and of itself. The dynamics behind that and what it means. But when you were new, he knew your name before you ever existed. And before you were ever existing in the womb, your name was written in that book of life and your days were already numbered. That is what his word tells us. And I thank Cindy for reading from Psalm 139 because that's just such a precious scripture. But I'm going to share some of these other verses that he shared as I started to study newness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When you come to know him, you are a new creation. He's all about the new. Ezekiel 36:26 says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, a new spirit, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. When we come to know him, he gives us a new heart and a new spirit. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is there any one of us here today that doesn't need new strength? I know I do. When we serve him, when we walk with him, he promises to give us new strength. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, put off the old self. This is when we come to know him as our Savior. We put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you know what hit me with that verse? How did he create us to begin with? In his image, with that true righteousness and holiness that's reflected in his Son. I mean, and now when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, how does God see us after that? Whose righteousness are we clothed in? Jesus is. It says we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We're not clothed in that old self anymore. So we're to put off those old habits. But we now have the righteousness of Christ. God is all about making us new. He is all about newness. Lamentations 3:22-24 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. We need the hope of the newness. And his mercies are new every morning. I need new mercies every morning. Which one of us doesn't? And we live in this world, and I'm going, we all need those new mercies, and they never end. They never end. Isaiah 65:17 says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. He's talking about creating those things now for us for an eternity so that we can spend an eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. Remember when earth was first created and heaven was first created, they were new. They were new. And sin entered into the world, and there's this whole decaying process that has happened, this whole tarnishing of everything that we know. But God is creating something new, a new heaven and a new earth, which we can live in forever. And you know what else is so cool about that? He says, the things of the past, we aren't going to remember anymore. And it's not that they're just going to be somewhere in our subconscious and probably affect all of our decisions that we make down the road. And like little subtle things, bring them to mind without us realizing they're there. No, they don't exist anymore. They will never be brought to mind, is what the scripture says. Imagine how refreshing that will be. But that led me to Romans 21, 4 to 5, that says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He's making all things new. I can't imagine not having pain and death and crying. I'm a person that cries a lot. But to not have crying and to not feel things so heavily that your heart just mourns. I would hit spells where I can't watch the news because it's just so overwhelming. And a lot of times that was tied to my job that I had before. Like I dealt with those overwhelming things and it was just so hard then to go home and deal with more overwhelming things. Psalms 43 says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. When you come to know him as your Savior, he gives you a new song. When you go through difficult things, he gives you a new song. He sustains you. He uplifts you every day. That's part of the salvation that he provides to you. And he gives you that new song so that others will see it and hear it and will put their trust in him. Because he is our hope. He is the God of newness. And our life here on earth, in every way, there's not one of us that doesn't need that newness. God has been doing something new all around us. And I think that all the time here, I watched this church this morning. Oh my word. God is doing something new here. I don't know what it is. Like, it's easy to get frustrated and think you're going to throw in the towel, but there were so many people behind making this morning work because we had the people who were supposed to do our worship who couldn't be here. So yesterday we had Cindy and Sue and several others scrambling to put together songs and things like that to fill in. We had computers that weren't quite where they needed to be this morning, but people came together with the right passwords they needed to be able to get into it. We had Mike, who had a call out on the breakfast he was serving. That was a one-man show this morning. Literally, Mike put that whole thing together himself. God is doing something new. Mike is going to need new mercies this afternoon when he goes home to rest. He is going to need renewed strength when he goes home to rest because that's not an easy thing to pull off and it's tiring. And I think we're all feeling that. We feel that tiredness. We feel that. But he's doing something new in my life. Last November, actually it was October, he led me to step down from my position at Human Life Services. I had been there for over 10 years. I had been in Lancaster for over 6 years. So it was a lot of years of being in pregnancy center ministry and just being able to work with at-risk youth and men and women who just needed help and support in their families. And that was my dream job. I've always told people that was my dream job. Just being able to connect in that way with individuals was just where I felt I always wanted to be. But God very specifically led me somewhere else. And I honestly had a peace about it, but the job I was handed was anything but peaceful. It was just a very, very difficult job, a lot more hours, and just staffing shortages all over the place. If any of you work in an industry that's experiencing staffing shortages, you need renewed strength, because that has been really, really tough. And yet I see him working around me, and I'm working in pediatric dentistry field. And I'm still working with some of the same kids that were part of the ministry I'd been in before. And I'm working with kids who, 40% of them are in the foster care system. I'm working with kids where 85% of them are pretty much using medical assistance and having trouble to pay for their care that they need. I'm working with caseworkers from children and youth all the time. There's so many similarities to it, but to walk into a place that is secular, where there aren't really any other believers, and to have them look at you and go, you're not like any other manager we've had. That speaks volumes. To give them an insight into what it can mean to run things with hope and integrity and fairness, and that they too can achieve that. There's a lot of healing in people from all different aspects that needs to happen. But at Human Life Services, they've also gone through a lot of changes in the last year. And I want to spend a little bit of time because I know that you are all aware of Human Life. We are a church that has supported them over the last 17 plus years. So I just wanted to touch base with where they're at. They've gone through a lot of changes. And this year, going into the year, they have grasped a hold of Galatians, I'm sorry, I can't quite read that far away, but my little tag fell. Galatians 6:2, which is carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you would fulfill the law of Christ. And that so summarizes the ministry that they do. They have parenting programs. They have prenatal programs. They will walk with a new family who is pregnant and expecting through that child's life till they're 3 or 4 years old, or as long as they need assistance. They connect them into other resources within the community, connecting various nonprofit agencies and medical community together to help support those families. They provide clothing and formula and just you name it, and sometimes just a safe place to go. I can remember having families come back and say, you know, this was the only sane place we came all year. You know, every single week when we would show up for our appointment, we knew this was our hour to just be ourselves, to say what we wanted to say, to just be loved on, and this was where we wanted to be. So they also provide the medical services of free ultrasounds, free pregnancy tests, and connecting them into the medical community for the services that they need. I think I have trouble with this because I keep holding it upside down. They also have a lot of new staff. So this is fun and exciting. I was in there the other week, and you can just palpably feel the excitement because everything is new. They in the middle, there is a lady in red, half of them are in red, where carrying a joy sign. She is the new director, Laura Abel, who had been there for probably maybe 11 years, 12 years, stepped down. She retired. And they, in May, Leona Riga came in as the current director. She's amazing. She has some really fresh new ideas. She's excited. She just, you see the love emanating from her when you talk to her. She's just filled with it, and she has a real heart for the patients. There's probably only about 2 to 3 staff members that are the same in there, just because there's been a whole transition, and the feeling has been God is doing something new. The gentleman in the back is a new sonographer. Next to him is their new nurse manager. And then there's several administrative people that are also new. So it's exciting to see God is doing something new and amazing. They're reconnecting at the Youth Development Center. For about the last year or so, they have struggled a little bit, though they've had a female going in and working with the youth there. They now have a male person who they are training to go in and work with the guys. So it's exciting for them to be reconnecting in that way. They're pursuing STD testing as a service, really, to reach into some of the at-risk communities that are experiencing those unhealthy relationships, experiencing unplanned pregnancies, and that type of thing, to be able to minister to them. They're also reinitiating their post-abortion recovery program, which, as you all know from hearing me speak before, that's something that really resonates on my heart. I just have always felt like we've watched women who just feel like they're still so devastated by the decision they made, and they carry that privately because they can't talk about it. There's such a stigma, and it's such a closed door with them. And once they go through that recovery process, the healing is visible. It's just visible to see the freedom that they gain. So I want to share with you too a story right now. Raquan and Mordesha, who are part of Human Life Services, and just to give you a picture of part of the ministry and how they function.
When I was 3, my dad got arrested, and From what I was told, I was left on the highway. It broke me.
I did worry a lot about being a mom. I'm still dealing with my traumatic things that happened to me, and it really took a toll on me. Like, am I going to be good enough? I got the pregnancy test, sat on the counter because I didn't want to look at it right away.
We didn't know how our financials was, if we could be able to keep him or her at the time.
I was homeless. I didn't have no clothes, nothing. I didn't have baby clothes for my daughter. I didn't have diapers. Like, I was in a really bad place. And then I came here. And I bought her first outfit here with my baby bucks. And I was so proud. I went home and I set up her crib. Got a changing table from here. High chair from here. I was so excited. And it's like, I can get all this stuff for my baby and learn about my baby at the same time and get help on how to be a better mom. And it was just like, I'm going to stay at Human Life Services. This is my family. Like, I'm going to, like, why wouldn't I keep coming? Once I felt her first kick, that's when I knew it was real. I poked it back, and then she poked me again. So then I'm like, oh.
When she first was born, I cried in the hospital. When I got to hold her, it was amazing. She wakes up, she look at us, she smile at us. It's just so cute. Like, it just makes us feel like we're complete as a family now. We love being like, I love her. So at the end of the day, I'm going to be there. Being here kind of like gave me options that helped me figure things out. You can put a baby to sleep different ways. You can stop her from crying. Things you can do that I use on a daily. Me and her have a lot of anxiety and anger when we come here sometimes. Talking to Larry, it brings it out. So when we're able to leave, we got it out, and we're talking as we're leaving.
If I didn't get the help from Human Life Services and I had to do it on my own, I would have been so angry and bitter. I want to create a path. I'm trying to break generational curses. And that's, like, really, really important to me. I want, like, dinner every Sunday at the table. I never got to have that. Something that brings us all together that we can look forward to. She's going to have the best childhood. When she tells her kids and she has kids, she's going to be like, my parents.
I would like to thank everybody that we come here, we see. They treat us like family, and that's what people need around here.
That just makes me smile. Like, I just love hearing their story, and I love seeing the hope. Like, they have found hope. You know, that's what they've found. They found a second chance, and they found hope. As I was wrapping things up, amidst all the things new, and it's just exciting to see what God is doing new, God led me to another verse, and that's what I want to close with, Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, and yes, forever. Forever. He doesn't change. Yes, there's all kinds of newness that's being created all around us. There's all kinds of newness going on. There's all kinds of devastation. But our hope is in the fact that he doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. I started to think about that. Like, I am not consumed by what's going on around me because God doesn't change. And I can go to him. I can count on his mercies being new every day. I can count on his love being everlasting. James 1:17 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He is the same day after day. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's 2 Timothy 2:13. In the midst of everything, get excited that God is doing something new. Look for it. Watch it. You're going to be amazed at what you're going to find when you're actually looking for it. But don't ever be afraid of it, because he doesn't change. We rest in that knowledge and that hope of knowing that he loves life and he loves you. Thank you for letting me share and to just be a part of this every single year, because it gets me all excited and just turns my heart to the value of human life. Thank you.